Good afternoon. Nice having 2:30 p.m. services. Got to rest a little bit and sleep in. I kind of like that. And it is good to be back and see everybody. I know we live in Virginia, but I feel like it is home here. So it's really nice to be back here and see everybody. I don't know if you guys pay attention to the news, but I saw one story that caught my attention. The world tongue twister champion got arrested. The police are giving him a tough sentence. Well, family, have you ever been given a gift unexpectedly? You know, one that you enjoyed or a gift that you needed, but you didn't even know you needed it until you're given it. Now, I think it's a wonderful feeling. That's a wonderful surprise. It's a great gift. Now, I don't know a single person who doesn't like getting gifts, doesn't like getting good gifts. Their gifts are generally wonderful to receive. Sometimes our children are given really interesting gifts, gifts that we're not quite sure are good gifts, like the loud toys, but in the end, they're still good gifts. Generally, gifts are a good thing. There have been some amazing gifts throughout history. The Statue of Liberty was a gift from France. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon were a gift from Nebuchadnezzar to his wife, Queen Amytis. Now, I'm going to be focusing on the good gifts, so I'm not going to mention the Trojan horse. But today, I want to focus on good gifts. Gifts that are given to us out of the goodness of the giver. Now, we're going to be celebrating Pentecost pretty soon. With the giving of the Holy Spirit. Now, we know, of course, the Holy Spirit wasn't given to mankind only on the day of Pentecost. We know that, because before that, though, it was given to a select few. But on Pentecost, it was given to a whole lot more. It was given to members of God's church, God's called out ones. It's been given to members of God's church to this day. And the Holy Spirit is the power of God. Through this power, God transforms us from the inside out. It enables us to understand spiritual things. It enables us to belong to God. Romans 8:9 says that if we do not have the Holy Spirit, then we are not His. The Holy Spirit is such a wonderful gift that God gives to us. And we can do nothing to become worthy to receive His Spirit. There's nothing we can physically do that will make us right with God. There's nothing. We've all sinned. Therefore, the only way to make us right with God is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God willingly gives us His Holy Spirit. It's a gift. It's a gift. And as we'll see today, it's a gift that keeps on giving. Through the power of God's Holy Spirit, God also gives each one of us spiritual gifts. And I want to look at that today. It's some of the gifts that God gives to us through His Holy Spirit. And look at the purpose of the spiritual gifts that God gives to us. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 1. Look at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So Paul didn't want the Corinthians, and by extension us, to be ignorant. He wanted us to understand. He wanted us to know about spiritual gifts. We needed it. We need to know. This is deeper than just a surface understanding of spiritual gifts. Paul wanted us to deeply know what they are. Now, the word ignorant has a meaning of not knowing due to lack of information. Paul's saying it's important for us to take time to learn and understand spiritual gifts. Now, as you may notice, the word gifts, at least in the New King James, are in italics. And I was wondering why this was. Albert Barnes, in his notes on the Bible, explains this about why the word gifts is in italics, meaning it was added by the translators. He says, quote, spiritual gifts, the word gifts is not in the original. The Greek refers to spiritual things in general or to anything that is of a spiritual nature. The whole discussion, however, shows that he refers to the various endowments, gifts, or graces that had been bestowed in different degrees on the members of the church, end quote. And in addition, the word used for spiritual is a Greek word pneumatikos. P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-K-O-S. It's P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-K-O-S. M-A-T-I-K-O-S. And that word means non-carnal. It means spiritual. It means not of this world. The emphasis is that they are from God. The gifts are from God, not from man. They're not from ourselves. So as we go through 1 Corinthians 12, we'll see that Paul is clearly talking about spiritual gifts. There's nothing else it can be. You know, God has given each of us spiritual gifts through His Holy Spirit. And it's important that we know more than just what they are on a surface level. We cannot be ignorant. So let's move down to verse 4. Let's look at verse 4. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So there's varieties of gifts that God gives to His people, but they all come from the same Spirit. Well, what Spirit is? That is God's Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit, His power, gives us gifts. We all have different gifts, but none of us has every single gift. Now, the word gift is the Greek charisma, which means, quote, a gift of grace, a favor which one receives without any merit of his own, end quote. And Mr. Johnson, in his classes, he often refers to grace as a gift given without any regard to the worthiness of the recipient. It's a gift given without any regard to the worthiness of the recipient. We have been given spiritual gifts without regard to our worthiness. We have all sinned. We are not worthy to receive these gifts. And yet, God has given them to us. What a blessing. What a merciful, wonderful God we worship. Let's look at verse 5. So notice verse 5. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. So it's not talking about ministries like organizations. The King James Version says differences of administrations. The word translated from ministries or administrations is the Greek word diakona. Diakona. It means service or serving. It's saying that we can all serve in different ways. When we minister to someone, we're serving them. And that is what we are all to do. It's what we're all to do. We are to serve. Now, to put this in a historical context, you know, there was division going on in the Corinthian church. Paul was explaining to them that the spiritual gifts given to them were from God, a unified God the Father and Jesus Christ. The gifts are meant to unify and edify, not to divide. And that lesson is still very valid for us today. You know, the gifts that God gives to us are meant to edify. They're meant to strengthen. They're meant to unite. They're not to cause division or make one swell up with pride. We're all to work together using the gifts that God has given us. And we all have the same Lord working towards the same purpose. Let's drop down to verse 6. Drop down to verse 6. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. Now, the Amplified Bible brings out a few ideas in this verse. I thought that was interesting. It says, and there are distinctive ways of working to accomplish things. But it is the same God who produces all things in all believers, inspiring, energizing, and empowering them. So there's different ways to accomplish a task. There's different ways we can do it. Now, each of us may approach a situation or a way to serve in a different way. Not that any of them are wrong. They're just different. You know, for example, you know, sweeping the floors is a way to serve at church. It absolutely is. Some of us may sweep the floors in a nice straight line up and back in a perfect symmetry. Some of us may do that. Others may do more of a wobbly approach. Some may sing and dance while doing it, you know, and others may just be diagonal like a queen in chess. But all different, but none of them wrong. You know, but it's still the same God working gifts in all of us. You know, none of our gifts are from a different power. None of them. All are from God. Now, we may be using our gifts in a different method than each other, but when we're using them properly, they are building up the body of Christ. Let's drop down to verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So manifestation means that which illustrates, manifests, or makes anything seen or known. So, for example, our actions are manifestations of what's in our heart. You know, in this case, God's Spirit manifests itself through the gifts that we are given. That's what it does. Now, we can see the Spirit of God, the power of God, through the gifts that he gives us. And we should note what Paul says at the end of the sentence, to each one for the profit of all. So it means, you know, not to oneself, not to a few, but to all, the entire body, everyone. Like, I'm certain we all know someone who has been given a gift and who uses that gift in service to God's church. They do it because they want to serve and they want to help edify and build up and strengthen the body of Christ. You know, they were given an ability and they're willing to share it and serve in God's church. And that's how we're to use our gifts. Now, on the flip side, there's also those who, you know, they have a gift and they're using the gift that they're given, but they want the spotlight to be on them. And to them, it's not about serving. It's how their gift puts the focus on themselves and the spotlight on themselves. And that's not how we are to use our gifts. That's not why we're given the gifts. Now, we should be looking at how to use our gifts that help the church and not ourselves. Now, the reason we're given the gifts is not for ourselves at all, but it's instead to build up God's church. That's what he means when he says the profit for all. Now, let's look at a few of the gifts that Paul mentions, because Paul doesn't list all the possible gifts that God's Spirit has, but there's a whole lot he does list. And we'll look at a few of the ones that he says specifically. Let's read verses 8 to 11, and then we'll break it down from there. Verses 8 to 11. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning the spirit, discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So knowledge is from the Greek word gnosis, which means knowledge or science. We all know people who have a lot of knowledge. And that can be just a wonderful gift in edifying the body of Christ. It's a wonderful thing. There's people in God's church who can give you so much information about God's word. They have deep knowledge of exactly where scriptures are, exactly where to find them. Genealogies, histories. That's a blessing. I don't have that gift. That's a wonderful blessing. Well, that's awesome. Paul mentions wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. Now, someone may not know the exact place where scripture is. However, they're able to take those scriptures and expound some amazing wisdom from those same scriptures. It's an application of the knowledge. When you combine those people who have the gift of knowledge and the gift of wisdom together, it's amazing how they complement each other. Like every gift that God gives us, it is to build up and work together, to build up his church, to edify the body of Christ. That's a wonderful thing that God is doing in giving gifts to us, so we work together. And all the glory and honor goes to God, not for ourselves. And one thing I'll briefly mention, too, is the gifts that God gives us usually aren't the flashy ones. They're not the flashy ones. We don't suddenly all of a sudden have superhuman ability after we get baptized. It'd be nice, but we don't. Now, God has at times given things like that to his people. Like Samson had the gift of strength for a bit. But most often, the gifts that God gives us are ones in the background. So Paul mentions faith. Now, faith by itself is something that we are all to be working on, all to be building up on ourselves. We are. But I think all of us know people who just have that extra bit of faith in them, extra amount of faith. They're going through such hard times and trials. You're blown away by how laser-focused on the future, on God's word, on the faith they have. It's amazing. And then by them having that faith, that in turn encourages us and strengthens our faith. It's wonderful. It's awesome how that works. Paul mentions healing. He mentions healing. Now, and there's examples in the Bible of healing. And if you talk to many people who've been in the church for a while, too, they can tell you examples of healing that even happened immediately. There's gifts of healings. It's awesome. And sometimes it takes place because of a gift that God has given them. You know, Paul mentions miracles, prophecy. You know, he mentioned discerning of spirits, languages. And like I said, it's not an exhaustive list of every single thing that the Holy Spirit will give us. God gives us through his Holy Spirit. But notice the very last. This is where I want to start focusing. The very last thing he mentions. Last thing that Paul says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. It is all from God, and he gives as he chooses. There's no self-gratification in the gifts that God gives us. None whatsoever. It's for the glory of God and it's for the working of his plan. It is for the edification of the body of Christ. That's why we're given these gifts. That's why we have them. And we're to be using these gifts we were given to help others, which in turn glorifies God. Now, we may be asking the question, well, what's my gift? What's my gift? How do we know what our gifts are? You know, as mentioned before, usually the gifts that God gives us aren't the flashy ones. They're not the flashy ones. And of course, God can and has. People were touching Paul's clothes, they got healed. Like, there are gifts that God has given, but generally it's not the flashy ones. They're quieter, the ones in the background. But that doesn't detract at all from the amazing power of these gifts. It doesn't detract one bit at all. If our gifts are not on the scale of bringing fire down from the sky, how do we know what gifts we have? Now, of course, we can't answer exactly. I can't answer exactly what everyone has. We take time to learn. But one way we all can start learning what our gifts are is just to start serving. Start serving. We're serving now. We can find other ways we can serve. I like the movie Robots. I like the movie Robots. That's a good movie. It's generally considered a kid's movie, but I don't care. I like the movie. It's a good movie. Doesn't attract at all. If anyone hasn't seen it, in one part of the movie, there's a character called Mr. Bigweld. He's an inventor. He's the most famous robot inventor, and he says a phrase, see a need, fill the need. I think that's pretty an apt description about how we are to serve. We see a need, we fill the need. If we see something that needs done, and no one is doing it, we should do it. We can also offer to help if someone is already doing it. And what if we don't know how to do it? Well, we can still see the need, and we can either learn how to do it or find someone who does know how to do it or learn. But in doing so, in doing these things, we start to learn what our gifts are. We learn. When we start to serve, we can see what we do well, and we can see things that we don't do very well. We can find our strengths. We can find areas that need growth. And we're not born with a piece of paper that says, hey, here are your strengths. Be nice. Mine will probably be pretty short, but we don't have them. But the only way to find out is to actually do something, is actually go and serve. And we must be active. We have to be cultivating this in ourselves. And that's how we find out what our gifts are. It may take some time. It may take some time. We may start out serving in an area that we think is right up our alley. This is what I want. And we do it, and it turns out, nope, shouldn't have done that. That's not what I'm good at. And that's fine. That's okay. That's okay. I mean, if you look at the purpose and the reason for our gifts that we have, it really shouldn't matter what the gift actually is that God's given to us. It shouldn't matter. We should remember that the gifts that God gives to us are the right ones. Those are the right ones. The gifts that God gives to us are what's best for us and for helping each other and serving. Now, reminding ourselves of that fact, it gives us the right perspective when we're trying to look and see what our gifts are and how to serve others with them. Now, sometimes since we are imperfect, fallible human beings, we can sometimes think that some gift someone else has is greater than others. Let's notice 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4 to 7. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some people in the Corinthian church, they may have felt shortchanged by the gifts that they were given. But we must remember that the gifts themselves are not the focus. Not the focus. They're tools that were given to help reach the goal. No one is greater because they didn't receive a gift someone else did, or vice versa. No one is greater because there's someone is serving in a specific way while someone else is not. What did we do to receive that gift? Nothing. Nothing. It was from the goodness of God that we received our gift. The gift is not for ourselves. The goal is not to build ourselves up. The goal is that we help edify and build up the body of Christ, to serve others. Now, though we do use it in one way, to help build ourselves up, to have the right character, the right attitude of service, that is one way that having these gifts does help us. It helps us to develop proper spiritual character. It does. But ultimately, the goal is to edify the body of Christ so that we all can make it into the kingdom of God. Another way we can find out what our spiritual gifts are is just to ask God himself. Ask in prayer. Now, ask the being who is giving us those gifts. Ask him to show us what gifts he's chosen for us. Let's read the first part of verse 31 in 1 Corinthians 12. Back to 1 Corinthians 12. We'll just read the very first part of verse 31. It says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. Now, we're not to ask God, you know what? I think being a teacher is the best gift, so please make me a teacher. That's not what it's saying at all. And that's not how we should ask. That's an attitude of focusing on self. It's not on helping the body of Christ. However, there's nothing wrong at all with asking God to give us gifts that will help the church the most, even if they're what we would consider behind-the-scenes jobs. Or lesser job. There's nothing wrong with asking God to show us the gifts he's given us so we can help use them and develop them. Now, Paul later on, end of verse 31, says he'll show us there's something more than desiring the best gifts, which is what we call the love chapter. But I think this is a good segue to the next question we can ask. If I know what my gift is, or I think I know what it is, how do I use it? How do I use it? Again, there's no way always on a specific level we can answer every question like that. However, like many things that God gives us, there are always guiding principles that will help us. Let's notice Galatians 5, verses 13 to 14. Galatians 5, verses 13 to 14. Galatians 5, verse 13 to 14. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is how we use our gifts. We use our gifts with genuine love and concern for others. Through love, we serve one another, not with selfish ambition, not because we feel obligated or that if we think we don't serve, we'll get something bad. It's all out of love for others. It's all out of love for others. Pure godly love. And the word that Paul uses here for love, it's agape. It's godly love. That's what he's using. That is how we use our gifts. We use them by starting to help others. Anywhere from making food, conversing with each other, special music. There's many ways. We can never forget the many ways that we can serve. Seeing someone sitting alone and talking to them, that is a way of serving. It is a way of serving. You never know how encouraging that can be to someone who's going through a difficult time. And maybe you'll find that you have the gift of encouragement. The focus on serving is completely outward. It's not inward. But something else we must keep in mind, too, is that we have to actively be working and looking for ways to serve. Now, we touched this already earlier on Mr. Bigwell's comment, see a need, fill the need. But this goes hand in hand with discovering our gifts. To use our gifts, we have to serve. But doesn't it mean that we go to the table, see a sign-up sheet, and see it's full, and throw up our hands and say, well, I tried to serve, can't now. We can't do that. We have to look for ways to serve, find a way to serve, look for ways to help edify the body of Christ as often, as much as we humanly can. And we must not forget that not every act of service is what we call glamorous. If we see a need, like sweeping the floor or taking out the trash, we should take it upon ourselves to fill that need. It's serving the body of Christ in any capacity. In any capacity builds a spiritual body, and it helps us to develop holy, righteous character. We cannot pick and choose how we will serve because some tasks we feel are below us. No task is greater than serving God. And no task is greater than serving God's church and his members. To look for ways to serve, we have to have a heart geared to have an attitude toward service. And we have to actually be looking. And when we see someone or something that has a need, we do our best to go take care of it. And There's so many biblical acts, biblical examples of service. There's so many of them. Dorcas in Acts 9:36 says she was full of good works and charitable deeds. She was known for serving. Are we known for that? Am I known for that? Are we known for having a servant's heart? Let's read John 6, verses 8 to 11. John 6, verses 8 to 11. There is no age limit on serving. John 6, verse 8 to 11. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has five barley loaves and two small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, and the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. The lad gave up his loaves and fish to the disciples. Now, they weren't wrestled by him or taken from him by force. The lad willingly gave up his food for Christ and disciples. The lad didn't have to. He could have quickly scarfed it down and say, "What fish?" You know, when I was younger, it was hard for me to share food. It still is sometimes. But he didn't have to do that. When you're young, it's hard to give up food. But what the boy did was an act of service. It was an act of service. And it became one of the great miracles, part of the great miracles that Christ did. Let's also notice 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 14. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 4, 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 to 4. "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." The churches in Macedonia, they helped serve despite their condition. They saw a need and did not let their trials stop them from serving. They had a servant's heart. They had an attitude of service. So let's notice Acts 20 and verse 35. Acts 20 and verse 35. Acts 20 and verse 35. "I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" And service is giving. You know, it's us giving something to someone else. It may be time, it may be encouragement, it may be friendly conversation, maybe financial. Maybe a timely set of scripture, maybe a washed car. But in all of those examples, we are giving something to someone else. That is serving. And we cannot forget either, though, that as we serve, in a way, we do help ourselves build godly character. We help instill in ourselves that servant's heart that we are to have. We help ourselves by developing the gift that God has given us so that we can help others at an even greater level. You know, the gifts that God gives us are not stagnant. They're not there at a specific level, never to increase. The more we use what God has given to us, the better and more effective we will be, and which in turn builds up the body of Christ even more. That then makes all of us stronger as a whole. That's awesome. That's wonderful. Let's also notice Romans 12, verses 6 to 8. Romans 12, verses 6 to 8. Romans 12, verse 6 to 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. We have been given gifts. If we don't know what all of our gifts are, or even some of them, we can pray and ask God and we can start serving. Now, we are reminded to use our gifts. And the gifts come from God for the purpose of helping the church. God gives to each person as he wills, how he wills, in the amount that he wills, and we are to use them. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 10, don't turn there, we'll read it. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We are to use our gifts for the edifying of the body of Christ. This goes from the young to the seasoned veterans in the church. You know, to the younger ones, those who are not baptized yet. Now, I'm not talking about just the younger teens, those who aren't baptized yet. Anyone like there at all? Does any of this pertain to you? Especially the younger ones whose parent, one of the parents is baptized. Yes, it does. Let's just back this up just a little bit. Let's back a little bit. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 14. Look specifically at children. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. So you are holy. If you're not baptized, one of your parents are. You are holy. You're holy. I think we can sometimes glaze over that at any age. When I was younger, I didn't really comprehend that. You're holy, and that's a gift. You didn't make yourself holy. Your parents didn't make yourself holy. God made you holy. God himself. He set you apart for a purpose. Now, having been made holy, but not yet been baptized, not yet had hands laid on you, the Holy Spirit is not dwelling in you yet, but it is working with you. It is working with you. You know, just like that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us, we have the option to let it work with us or not. Every choice we make, no matter the age, has consequences, good or bad, like the two trees in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had two choices, you know, one with good consequences, one with bad consequences. The more we choose good or evil, the easier it is to do it again. Now, if I continue to lie, each time I lie, it gets easier and easier. But the bad consequences multiply. If I choose to do good, it gets easier and easier to do good each time. The consequences multiply. It's human nature to want to look like the world. It's human nature to want to fit in with the world. It's human nature. But the more we resist and turn from the world, the easier and easier it gets. And the more the good benefits that we see. When it comes to the spiritual fruits that God has given us, we've been working as hard as we can from a young age to do what is right and letting God's Holy Spirit work with us by doing what God says we should do. If we get baptized, then we're like good soil for the Holy Spirit to work in us. You know, because we let the Holy Spirit work with us for so long and develop in us good qualities, you know, the gifts God gives us can grow so quickly. Because of the Holy Spirit work with us for so long, choosing what is right becomes second nature to us. Now, we still have battles to fight. We're human. We have battles to fight. But we won't have a lifetime of bad habits to overcome. That's a lot harder. With God's Holy Spirit, we absolutely can. It just requires more work on our part. But what a blessing it is to have the opportunity to have God's Holy Spirit to work with you from a young age. And on the flip side, to those of us who are baptized, you know, the younger ones are watching. The younger ones are watching. They see our examples, both good and bad. It's up to us to be showing them how to use the fruit that God has given us. It's up to us to show them how to properly use the gifts and how to share it and how not to hinder it with selfishness. It's sometimes easy for us to forget how much kids pick up. They really pick up a lot. I'm impressed sometimes. And I've got five kids. I forget how often they pick things up. I'm blown away. But they do. You know, and part of strengthening the body of Christ is teaching the younger ones the right example. And when we do that, when we use our spiritual fruits in a way that is pleasing to God, we set the proper example for the younger ones, which in turn helps them develop spiritual character and helps develop their gifts, and it keeps the cycle going. What a wonderful opportunity that we have. Family, we've been given amazing gifts by our loving Father. Amazing gifts. Gifts given to us who are unworthy to receive them. You know, God has given them to us because they are the right gifts for us. No gift is better than another. No one is better because they got a specific gift that someone else didn't get. Every spiritual gift is from God for the building up of the church, for service. Now, it's true. It does, in a way, help ourselves. Help ourselves by building godly character. But we get that by serving. If we're unsure of what spiritual gift that we have, we can ask the great God who gave it to us. We can ask him. We can also, in addition, continue to serve. We're serving. Look for other ways to serve, to keep on. When we start serving, God will show us what our gifts are. We have to use those gifts to help others, and we must be constantly looking for ways to serve and use those gifts. It's no good to have a gift and not use it. Now, God does not do things for no reason, just to do it. He gave our spiritual gifts to be used. And it mentions only for those who are baptized. Those who are not baptized yet, as we read, but have at least one baptized parent, you're holy. You are holy. God made you holy, and that alone makes you different. It makes you different from the world already. You already are different. By choosing right and letting the Holy Spirit work with you, you will reap the good benefits and have an easier time developing the spiritual gifts that God gives you. And family, we'll have a responsibility to set the example on how to properly use our gifts. Our example matters so very much, and the younger generation look to us and see our examples. Using our gifts the way God intended, it brings glory and honor to God, and it strengthens the church, the body of Christ. May we use all our spiritual gifts for the edifying of the body of Christ.